Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Nicholas Bishop of Allstate. It's a long title. VP for Economic Development and Strategies.
You nailed it. Doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Good. Yeah, I appreciate you coming. So first of all, what does that mean?
So the part of the president's cabinet, so help with the overall governance of the college. But then from there, the best way to describe it is the college is kind of split to two sides of the house, if you think of it that way. So we work with the Workforce Development Division, and the Workforce Development Division consists of a lot of industry certification programs, or maybe non-degree, non-traditional route programs, so things that are short-term industry certifications that are less than 1 year in most cases. And a lot of those opportunities bleed over to partnering with the academic and degree route, or helping put people into that pathway. But then we focus a lot with services to employers. So if employers need to upskill or reskill their existing workforce, so we have programs like an OSHA training center and things of that nature. Then we work a lot with local communities, local governments, city governments, state governments. When a company's looking to either relocate to our region or to expand, a lot of times we're part of that process and at the table to try to help make sure they have the workforce that they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a pretty broad umbrella that falls under that title.
Never a dull moment.
Yeah. And I think you hit about half my bullets, so I'm going to dig into some of those and have you elaborate. So we were just talking off air, so you're not from this area originally.
Yeah, originally from Morgan County, kind of across the ridge there on the plateau. Yeah. A little bit east of here.
Yeah, so you went to, where'd you go to school growing up?
Graduated from Sunbright High School, so go Tigers. We're a small K-12 school. It's about an hour and a half from here. Mm-hmm. So proud to be from Sunbright. A lot of good folks there. Had a great experience growing up there, and eventually made my way to the Middle Tennessee area.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, graduating from Coalfield, as a K-12, typically when I tell people that, they look at me like I'm making something up. Like there's really still there's K-12 schools, and to me, and I talk to a lot of people about education. To me, there are pros and cons. You know, you know every single person. I mean, I graduated with most of the people I started kindergarten with. You know them all. And being in a school, really having that consistency, you know, it's not like you're in a few grades and then you're going to a new school and then a few more grades and you go to a new school. You know, as long as you're with people you like, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think we had about 42 people in my graduating class. But yeah, to your point, a lot of times when you tell people a K-12 concept, they really don't know what K-12 even means. And then when you explain that it exists, like you said, they have a hard time believing that still exists. But there's a lot of them out there still in rural areas. But I always tell the concept of I ate lunch at the same table from kindergarten to when I graduated in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, the same cafeteria, mm-hmm. same lunch table. So that brings about that concept of consistency with it.
It does. And in a small community, you know, having that consistency, some of the teachers taught my parents. Yeah. One of our favorite games that we had in the library was to find books that our parents had checked out. That was one of the things that we would do to pass the time. I'm sure the librarian didn't approve of that. I think we were supposed to be doing something more productive. But
I think at the time we probably thought it was, you know, not so positive. But now looking back and as the world changes, I think, you know, that experience is – a lot of kids need that experience and miss out on that connectivity and being kind of close-knit community with it. And I think that's a lot of the disconnect now in society and education is there's just not that close-knit community piece to it. And I think that goes a long way to molding an individual. I think that's probably something that's missing today from a lot of our communities.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that K-12 model, you know, to have enough people to break apart into multiple schools, you know, you'd have to pull in from other communities that have smaller schools.
Right.
And so that is a difficult thing. That causes director of schools to lose their jobs. when you try to combine communities.
Places like Morgan County, you know, population-wise, they're, you know, 23,000-24,000 people, so that's pretty small. But from a geographical scale, you know, they're like the fourth or fifth largest county in the state. So to get school buses from one end of the district to the other, I mean, some of these kids spend, you know, 2 hours a day on a school bus, which equates to a week, you know, that there's, or a full day across the week that they're spending on a school bus. So there's a lot of challenges to that. A lot of pros, but a lot of challenges too.
Makes for interesting debate. So one of the questions that I always ask, because it's my show and I get to make up the questions, and since you were, I know you're in Morgan County, who was your favorite teacher growing up?
Was very fortunate to have a lot of great teachers, and realized that at the time, but now being in education, I realize that even more so. But if you're going to put me on the spot and make me pick a favorite, that would be the great late Mr. Johnny Jones. He passed away, I guess, maybe 10 years or so ago. But he was a family friend, so again, that connectivity, being familiar, knew him before I got into his class. But he made learning fun. He was a science teacher, but he taught you a lot more about science, more things than just science. But he made the experience fun and cared about people and was always a positive person. I've always said if I could have his outlook on life and be as positive as he was, would be something to strive for. But yeah, he was a lot of fun. And so he'd have to be my favorite if I'm going to have to pick one. But was fortunate to have a lot of great teachers at Sunbright.
Mm-hmm. Again, that community, that small community, it makes a difference in those connections.
Absolutely.
Because you do know the accountability. You're in church with people, or your cousins are teachers, or I mean, it is so closely connected. Again, pros and cons, but I think definitely more pros and cons.
Yeah, that's a great way to sum it up.
Yeah. So Sunbright to Vol State VP for Economic Development Strategies, rattle that title off. did you graduate from high school and think, okay, I'm gonna go to school and I'm gonna be a VP for Economic Development?
I actually hated school, so I surprised myself and my parents that ended up working for a college. But I love it. It's been the best job I've had throughout my career, and I really enjoy it. Went to UT Knoxville undergrad, but actually I tell people I went on tour first for my college education. I went to Tennessee Tech for a semester with baseball, and that didn't work out. Fortunately, the community college system exists. I was able to go back home, go to Rome State Community mm-hmm. College, and from there made my way to UT. And then from UT, made my way to went into to work. And but then a couple years after that, I went to a Nashville School of Law. That's kind of how I ended up in Middle Tennessee. And so I got my law degree and my law license, and was interested. I was actually a county commissioner in Morgan County way back when in another life. And so that kind of got my feet wet with economic development, and had an interest, did have an interest in that at an early age. In the business side. And so from there, I made my way, did some work in the private sector in the energy business, but I ended up spending about 10 or 12 years with the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And so that really exposed me to workforce development, economic development, and got the opportunity to work with a lot of colleges and universities across the state. And so that's kind of how I ended up at Vol State about 7 or 8 years ago, and haven't looked back and enjoyed every minute of it. So.
Yeah, it has a big impact, and I know that there are quite a few Vol State campuses. Can't rattle off exactly where they are, but
we're pretty unique for the community college system. So the community colleges in Tennessee are governed under something called the Tennessee Board of Regents, as along with the TCATS, Tennessee College of Applied Technologies. But there are 13 community colleges across the state. Vol State covers 11 counties, and so our main campus is in Gallatin, and then we have a campus in Springfield, which is about 20 minutes northwest of downtown Nashville. And then we have two campuses here in the Upper Cumberland, one at Cookeville, not far from where we're at right now, off of Neal Street, and then another one in Livingston off of Wendell Avenue, and trying to potentially build a fifth campus in Wilson County in the Mount Juliet area. That's a booming area, but when you look at the size of the service area going all the way from Robertson County northwest of Nashville to Del Hollow Dam, Pickett County, it's basically everything north of Nashville and everything in the Upper Cumberland north of Interstate 40 all the way till you hit, you know, the Eastern time zone or Del Hollow Lake, folks around here are familiar with. So to drive it, you know, you're looking at a solid, you know, it could be three and a half hours to drive across the region. So that's a pretty big service area.
Mm-hmm. And it you know, those areas, just the areas that you mentioned, and I think Wilson County saying that it's booming is an understatement. I mean, it's amazing the growth they've had down there, but the difference in the needs of those areas that you just mentioned, I mean, it's night and day.
Absolutely. So, like, Wilson County is actually, to talk about the boom of Wilson County, it's the fastest growing county in the state, to put that in perspective, out of 95 counties. You know, in Gallatin and Hendersonville, Springfield as well, we're kind of the suburbs of Nashville. So a lot of people live in those areas, but they commute to Nashville. So you get a lot of people in healthcare and IT and the business world. But those areas are also real heavy for manufacturing and logistics and warehousing. And then when you come this way, you've got more, you are starting to see an influx in manufacturing pickup in Upper Cumberland. But you still have got, everywhere you go, you've got the healthcare need. Everybody now has an IT department, so IT is evolving, even just as a subject, but everybody has a need for that workforce. I always say, too, that if you are in this region and you are a first responder, EMT, or a firefighter, at some point you probably got trained at Vol State, whether you went through there all the way through or if you went back for your continuing education components. So that's something we're real proud of. Vol State's our EMT program, fire science program. And then, as you know, teaching as a career, there's such a shortage with that all the way from K-12 to higher ed. And so we've got a big focus on that. But those are kind of your big heavy workforce needs, is manufacturing, healthcare, IT, business world is growing from a need. And then the teaching and the first responders.
Mm-hmm. So many different areas that are all vital. I want to break down some of those specific areas that you all work on. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and dig into those a little more in depth. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Nicholas Bishop from Vol State. Appreciate you coming out today.
Thanks for having me.
So a few of the questions. So you're talking a little bit about partnerships with local industries, and so one of my notes was about local industries and employers. So how do you build those? How do you even identify what you need to have a partnership?
Well, fortunately, a lot of that gets kind of generated from your local governments, whether it's your city government, county government, or within those local communities, you'll have economic development agencies. So we have great relationships with those organizations and those individuals. So a lot of times it starts with the state economic community development agency. If a company's looking to, especially if they're looking to relocate, they don't already have a footprint here in Tennessee, they'll start with the state. The state brings it down to our level. At that point in time, we just start getting with site selectors and CEOs and figuring out, you know, what are their needs. It's usually the same process. You know, the first thing they're looking for is land, which is an issue now in this region. Not a lot of that left. Then they want to know about utilities. Can we get enough power, electricity, gas that we need to run our facility? And their very next question, which is usually about the third topic, third or fourth, is the workforce. Mm-hmm. If I bring my company here, or if I expand my existing company, can I produce the workforce, or can the education system produce the workforce? So that's kind of how we end up in the room with that, and it's trying to figure out, you know, what are their needs? Is it something that maybe we already have a degree pathway that would provide that skill set and that need? And if so, try to, you know, make that partnership with that division and figure out how to produce more of those individuals. Or a lot of times it's customizing. You know, we've had programs, which is kind of the workforce development division's concept of, maybe they already have people with degrees, but they need to learn how to use this certain type of robot or a certain type of industry certification. So that's where we can come in and do some apprenticeships and customized training. But we work very closely with the county mayors, the city mayors, and then those ECD officials, and just trying to figure out what is that need and how can we best deliver it.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine it can be tricky, because from the – just from a citizen standpoint, you know, we hear, well, company XYZ, you know, it's code name, may come to the area and it's going to be 300 jobs. And so to me, all the back end of trying to, first of all, just trying to get them here. But then let's say they do show up and they need a real specific skill set. Working in higher ed, I know that turning that around when they say this is the type of robot that we need training for, and we're going to need 300 people who know how to use it. In higher ed, we don't turn those things around quickly.
And that you're exactly right, and that's kind of the beauty of the community colleges with the Workforce Development Division arms, is we can be a lot more nimble and flexible with these customized trainings. To where, to your point, if you're standing up a degree program, there's so many accreditation bodies and layers of, I'll say regulation instead of bureaucracy, mm-hmm. but I was about to just go ahead and say it. But there's so many layers to the process, and standing up a true degree route program, that it could easily take 2 or 3 years to start a new degree mm-hmm. program. So that's why a lot of employers are really attracted to ideas of customized training, apprenticeships. The state of Tennessee's really put an emphasis on that customized short-term training credentials, especially the apprenticeship piece. So we're doing a lot of work in that regard. But, yes, to your point, I mean, I've been on projects both at Labor and at Vol State where you're working under that code name. You may or may not know who the actual company even is. And it's 3 and 4 years from the time you have that first meeting to the time that it's public and there's a groundbreaking. And at that point in time, the technology they were talking about at your first meeting 4 years ago is now probably outdated. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of many challenges to it. And there's a lot of, politics of it, a lot of excitement, but you have to sign NDAs and things of that nature. So you can't go out and say, hey, we're building a program for Amazon or Facebook and or Meta and things of that nature, Volkswagen, whatever it may be, until it gets to the public. And so there's definitely a lot of that behind the scenes. You have to just go back to your college and try to justify, okay, we need this program for a project that I can't tell you anything about that doesn't exist, but it may or may not even arrive to our community, but we need to, in order for it to get here, they want us to commit to this mm-hmm. training program. So it definitely has to be a partnership on all sides. Your local government, local community has to be willing to make an investment and commitments everywhere from infrastructure to training and education. And these companies have to be willing to make a commitment too, because it's not free to start up a program mm-hmm. to buy equipment. So we'd have a lot of partnerships with companies where they will donate us equipment that they want people trained on. That's a huge benefit. Sometimes they'll just donate, money for scholarships and things of that nature. We'll also even take some of their people and bring them in and put them in the colleges like adjunct instructors to help teach mm-hmm. Part-time and do internships and things of that nature. So they're definitely – everybody has to have some skin in the game on all sides of that equation to make it work.
Yeah, and I know that with – again, to me, the complicated part gets into those specialty – the specializations of the factory. Like Portobello came into Putnam County – And I see the obviously there are the very obvious needs, the engineering people, the ITS people, but then there are so many very specialized specialty areas. Even turning that around into a program to support that, it just seems like there's so many steps involved.
Yeah, there's so many on the specialty side. There's a lot of occupations where you don't have a degree program. Tied to that, and you may have 6 people in the region that are in that occupation, so you can't go create a degree program for 6 people, but those 6 people can make or break a company's existence. And so that's where customized training programs that we do and apprenticeships really come into play to help with those specialized programs. But I was actually on a tour facility today, and they were doing some very specialized things, but the foundation of it was with robotics. And so that gets into like coding, manufacturing or mechatronics. There's an IT component to that. So they have to understand those basics. So a lot of times we can give them somebody with that basic skill set, but then the company's got to do some type of internal training, whether it's a customized training or apprenticeship, say, okay, you know how to use this robot, but now we got to train you on how to code it to make it paint this particular piece of material, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fine art to that has to be learned, mm-hmm. kind of customized on the job. But it helps if you can bring people into that workforce that at least know the basics of that robot or the basics of coding and programming and computer operations. So that's one way we can support that. But to get to that specialized piece, there's a lot of additional training that has to take place outside of the classroom or your traditional college higher education space.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's to me, there's a place for all those areas.
Absolutely.
For community college, for the TCATs, for the you know, universities. And I think having the opportunities just to say after high school and some of the training, obviously, you know, we have students that are getting that training in high school and they've got a head start, yeah. But then saying after high school, you need something, you know, we have all these options and you got to have something.
Yeah. That's a great point. And that's something we've got to do better on the higher education side of showing people that pathway of, you can start doing dual enrollment in high school. You can get those higher ed credits through your dual enrollment, transition that to a TCAT. So a perfect example for this region is manufacturing. This is something we got to take advantage of more on our side. But you can start as a high school student here in the Upper Cumberland doing like industrial maintenance dual enrollment with a TCAT. You can have that TCAT diploma or close to it by the time you also receive your high school diploma. You could take those credits and articulate those to Vol State, and within about 1 year, 1.5 years, you could get an associate's degree in mechatronics. You can then take that associate's degree in mechatronics and be working during the day or at night, making, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year in this region. Take that mechatronics associate's degree and your TCAT diploma and now go to Tennessee Tech and look at engineering and gain a bachelor's in engineering while you're working and making a living and not have a lot of educational debt. That's the pathway that we have to show to people. And you don't have to do it all overnight. You can take your time and break it up and do it, but that pathway does exist. And the flip side of that is, you know, we spent so much time telling everybody you've got to get a degree, a 4-year degree, master's degree, and beyond. Now I think we've almost, it was like we go from one extreme to the other. Now we're almost telling kids, don't go to college is almost the message. I think it's well intended, but we poorly articulate it. To your point, you said it very well, is that you may not need a 4-year degree or a professional degree, but you need two things. You need a skill set and some type of credential.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably are going to need multiple credentials and skill sets over time as technology and automation evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we've got to get into to kids' mindset, is that there's these multiple pathways if you want to pursue a bachelor's and professional degree, and we encourage that. However, if that's not for you, that's okay. That is absolutely okay, but you just can't take off and go into the workforce, because right now you may make $20-something an hour, but 10 years from now, you will still be making $20-something an hour, and the cost of everything is, you know, 30%, 40% more. So I think in that sense, we need to explain to young people that if you don't go that route, there's multiple routes. There's not one route. But you do need two things, a skill and some type of credential, whether it's an industry certification, TCAT, TCAT is a college. People need to make sure that we treat vocational schools and talk about those as higher ed and college. I hear people say so many times, well, just go to a vocational school. Well, that is higher ed. That is a college. Mm-hmm. Don't degrade that. And I think the message is well intended. I just think we poorly articulate it a lot of times.
I think so. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back. I want to follow up with you on some of those questions.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Nicholas Bishop from Vol State, VP for Economic Development and Strategies. We do love our long titles in higher ed.
That's a truth, yeah, for certain.
we like to make them long and complicated. But you're covering a lot of different areas, and there's a lot of hats under that topic, and it's important. To me, you know, sometimes as an outsider, my world is very narrow, focused on teacher education, you know, very heavily. And so it's easy to overlook all these other supports and things that are in place, especially with workplace development and economic development. Having those industries are vital to our areas. So one of my questions that I noted. What happens when one of these businesses are coming or a concept is coming and a mayor or there's political change? So let's say our unnamed XYZ is ready to come, and then we get a new mayor. We won't even go to the national level. There aren't enough hours in the day to talk national. But when there are changes, what does that look like for you, and how does that shift what you're doing?
A lot of these projects, these big economic development projects, are kind of put in place so when they come or they make that commitment, both on the company side and the community side, a lot of that's kind of not so much etched in stone. It's always subject to change. But a lot of those wheels are put into motion where if there is a change in elected office, that project continues. Because the Economic Development Agency, the county commission, the government as an entity has signed some type of commitment. They're given tax breaks. They're given land, whatever it may be, that they're putting that in motion, whether that individual is there or not in terms of elected office holders. So in most cases, it continues. Now, of course, when people change, some people want to put their thumbprint on or have different ideas, but in my experience, you know, gosh, now doing this 15, 20 years, most of it continues. I mean, there's been a few of them that get pulled along the way, but most of them are positive enough that regardless of thoughts and theories, that those projects continue.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, on the national level, even now, talking about bringing, you know, manufacturing Absolutely. Jobs back and having a focus on that, it seems like your email and your voicemail should be lit up at this point.
We've got to be ready on the workforce side to provide that. So right now we're very fortunate in Middle Tennessee and Upper Cumberland from a workforce perspective. There's a lot of – if you want a job, there's one out there. And that's not the case across Tennessee and across the country. So I think we're in a unique spot there, but we have to figure out in our region. I think economic development and workforce development is very regional. You can't really put a blanket even across the state with it, much less the United States. So we've got to be ready. We've got to be nimble to be able to train for what comes. If we don't already have something in place, we've got to be able to put it in place quick. But that's definitely a piece of that puzzle. If we do have an increase in manufacturing that comes to our region, that'll be an interesting conversation to have and interesting strategies to work through, because we're, I think, kind of ahead of the game compared to other places.
Mm-hmm. So who does the mediating? And I'm sure you've been sitting in one of these rooms when a company starts looking at, because, you know, if a company is looking at Putnam County, looking at Wilson County, and of course both counties would love to have a 500 employee spot, and we've both got land for it. You know, we have the business parks. How do you mediate that?
Yeah, I stay out of it. I'm kind of a neutral party. I focus on providing the workforce and education piece and answer those questions. But having a front row seat to that, usually what's called a site selector. So sometimes a company may not even be in those meetings. They've hired an attorney or a economic development professional that's often referred to as a site selector. So they're looking at all those things you just mentioned, like where's the best location for me land-wise. They're also looking at things like even the local education system, because if they're bringing existing members of their workforce to Tennessee, mm-hmm. and those individuals have children that are in K-12, they want to know that they're putting them into a good school and a safe community. They're looking at healthcare. What's my healthcare options? They're looking at recreational activities, entertainment. And those are a lot of reasons why Upper Cumberland and Middle Tennessee has had a lot of success with economic development. Is we're a great place. You hear it so many times, it sounds corny, but it's true, is we're a great place to work, live, and play. Mm-hmm. And so when you put all three of those together, no income tax, you know, state income tax, the cost of living is pretty reasonable compared to the rest of the country. So there's just a lot of things in our favor that we probably, you know, don't think of, or we take for don't take advantage of, or don't really appreciate. But so yeah, there's a lot of those factors in place, but it ultimately comes down to, you know, it's different for every company in terms of their needs. Can they get enough power to this location compared to this location? Do they have enough gas and water and things of that nature? Now with logistics and transportation, that's the other big benefit to this area, is we can get to about 75% of the U.S. population in like 7 hours from here in Nashville. So that's why, like in Wilson County, you see all these logistical warehouses, distribution centers popping up, as they can get on 840, 24, 65, every interstate you can think of within minutes and be anywhere in the eastern side of the U.S. within a day's drive. So those are all types of factors that come into play. But fortunately, I don't have to make those decisions. I just have to decide if I can help them get a workforce or not.
Right, right. And go back to the universities and work through that. Now, I know that when you have those conversations, I know that we don't really have competition among universities and community colleges. It's really a true partnership. Have you had experiences where you've had to work out those types of programs across different universities, across TCAT, and you know, get everybody in the same room and say this is coming. And this is going to impact us all, and this is how it's going to impact us.
It's kind of like taking a project and giving everybody, you know, assignments with it. We all get in the room and say, okay, here's all the training they need. You know, this portion may need to be handled by TCAT. This portion will be handled by Vol State, and this portion by Tennessee Tech. And that's why it's so important that we have great relationships with each other, and we do. But that's kind of how that – everybody's kind of got their specialty. And so it's kind of like if you're baking a cake, somebody's getting the ingredients, somebody's doing the mixing, somebody's putting it in the oven, somebody's putting the icing on it, and somebody's going to deliver it. So that's kind of how that works.
And it's been obviously been successful, you know, and I feel like it's benefited the region, certainly having the specialized programs. And I know that one of the directions that I see moving, you know, we see data centers that are being built by the big companies and more technology and AI. Where do you see that? Got just a little bit of time left. Where do you see that heading?
We, about a year ago, we formed a task force at Vol State on AI to just kind of start studying it in general to figure out how can we best, one, use it internally as an organization, as a company, to make ourselves better as employees, to be more efficient, more effective in automation. But then also the student side, students are using it, whether we want to think that or not. So, you know, how can we best prepare students to utilize that from a educational component to make sure they're still getting a quality education and going through the learning process? But also, how can we prepare them to be successful in using that type of technology when they get into the workforce? Because the employer is going to want students that can use AI. And so we are in the middle of that right now, trying to figure that out, working with some national organizations. We've got several deans involved. We're even working with Microsoft and trying to figure that out. But we're right in the thick of it, so if anybody's got any ideas, we're we're open to suggestion.
Yeah, it is a whole nother series, and we could talk AI for hours. Maybe that'd be a good follow up for us. But I appreciate you coming out today.
Absolutely, appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.